Joe's using his lifetime to call Stephanie Coronado.
Who knows everything.
Well, no, not really. And her voice is going in and out because she doesn't have COVID but still doesn't feel well, so.
Oh, I'll save it to win. Sorry.
So this is Joe's question.
My second chance.
It's for
press me luck.
One. It's for $100,000 worth of Joe prizes.
I'll be set for life. Shoot for the stars.
What former Marvel Silver Age artist became a born-again Christian and then worked on the Archie comics from Spire, a religious publisher in the 70s? Was it A, Al Hartley? B, Robert Burnside? C, George Roussios? Or D, Don Heck?
Isn't this something you guys just could have Googled? It's not like the real Regis Philbin show, right?
No, it's not the real show, but Joe can't cheat.
I mean, and I literally have a box of Spire comics like within hand's reach, including the Archie ones, because he said it was, he gave me a clue like it was somebody that went and did Archie comics for Spire. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't Don Heck.
I actually don't know it. I'd have to Google it myself.
Oh, he stumped the Schwab.
We've wasted one of your lifelines.
That's okay.
Yes. You wasted your lifeline, Joe.
Take a chance. Take a number. Take the cake. Take it or leave it. Take it all. Take two.
Stephanie, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm going to guess. I got to A. Al Hartley.
Final answer?
Why not?
You're correct!
Holy cow.
Yes, it was Al Hartley. He went from drawing Marvel's humor and soap opera comics, became a born-again Christian, told Stan he had to quit, went over to Spire, worked out a deal with Archie. There you go. Robert Burnside was not an artist. He was a writer. He wrote some of the early Marvel stuff and some of the horror and fantasy stuff before that. George Roussios was an artist at EC, but at Marvel, he was a colorist. And Don Heck, when he could no longer find work at DC, at Marvel, went over to DC and ended his career there. So, Joe, you have no lifelines remaining.
I'm almost dead.
You have three questions left.
I want me mommy.
For $250,000 in Joe Box.
That's a question. They're off. Think twice. 300 match. Tic-tac-toe.
What was the name of the mad knockoff that Joe Simon edited?
Yep.
Was it A, Get Lost? B, Cracked? C, Madhouse? Or D, Sick?
All right, hang on, same one more time.
A, Get Lost. B, Cracked. C, Madhouse. Or D, Sick? Joe already much further along in the game than he thought he would ever get.
That's very true.
Only three questions remaining.
I don't think it was Cracked, because that actually went for a while. Give them to me one more time. I want to write them down.
A, Get Lost.
By the way, I'm assuming Steph is gone?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm here. It's just the strangest phone call I've ever gotten at 10:30 on a Thursday night.
So, so you just kind of try to hang around and
watch
listen.
Me go down in flames.
If you want to kibitz in annoy Joe or help him lose, I'm okay with
total
that.
Total blackout. Trashed.
No, I was getting ready for bed. So, I mean, this is just really weird. So.
Oh, hey now.
Or consequences. This is a real tug of words. Two for the
A. Money. A, Get Lost. B,
Get Lost.
Cracked. C, Madhouse. Or D, Sick.
I'm going to go with Sick. D, final answer.
You're correct.
Holy crap.
Get Lost was by Ross Andrew and Mike Esposito. Cracked went through a whole bunch of publishers, eventually ended up the same publisher as the National Lampoon. Madhouse came from Archie. And Sick actually came through Carlton.
That's the only one I wasn't aware of.
It actually lasted until the 70s.
No idea whose line it is anyways. I mean, it's no Wheel of Fortune here. Phew. Whiz quiz. All right. What's to be my...
We are now up to a $500,000 in jail prizes.
What's this song? What would you have done? What makes you tick? What do you have in common? Okay. I'm not the weakest link. Wait. Don't tell me.
This one is right in our wheelhouse. Joe, what was the first Marvel omnibus?
Oh, we're going to have to gong this one.
Was it A, the Fantastic Four, B, Amazing Spider-Man, C, Alias, or D, the X-Men? No helping from the audience.
Nope.
I'm waiting for her just to fall asleep. So
you can hurt him. But yes. No helping.
I do like being hurt.
You can kick him in the shins for calling you this late.
Well, or you could kick Corey for giving me your phone number. Or we could say we owe you big time for being a good sport.
Or we could charge her because we are entertaining her at this late hour. We're better than the Colbert Show.
I think she's seriously reconsidering her friendship with us.
People do that every time I say hello.
Yeah, there is that.
As I often say, I have no
idea.
Talks to me a second time.
I have no frigging clue. I'm just going to go with... I'm sorry. Give me the options one more time.
A, Fantastic Four. B, Amazing Spider-Man. C, Alias. Or D, the X-Men.
I'm going to go with Alias just because I recall buying that as the first one for my daughter.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
I'm sorry. The answer was A.
Fantastic. Oh, I should have gone with it. I should have just said Fantastic Four. I go all the way to zero.
No, you're here at Who Wants to Be a Joe Price Millionaire. We're nicer than that. The last question you got correct was $250,000. So, Joe, please give yourself $250,000 worth of Joe prizes.
I'm not even a $1.98 beauty show winner.
By the way, would you like the million-dollar question?
What do you think, Steph? Should we've gone all this way? Should we? And then after the 20 questions, we can let you go to sleep.
I don't even know why you guys called me.
You were Joe's lifeline.
Well, it's not like we were driving around a neighborhood trying to find Dreamhaven.
And you did work for Archie at one point.
Yeah.
What in the world? What's going on? What's it for? What's my line? What's the story? Where have you been? Where was I? Who said that? Who's the boss? Who pays? Who's there? Who's? Why?
Joe, would you like the final question since I did work on it?
Yes.
You can tell by this question I did not want you to win. Recently, a copy of Action Comics number 1 sold. It was graded at a 7.0. What was the final price, the highest price ever paid for a copy? Was it A, $2,810,250, B, $255,950, C, $2,604,750, or D, $3,100,000?
Well, it was C because you fucked it up. You always fuck up the answer.
Yep. And there you go. Stephanie, thank you for putting up with our nonsense. You could go to bed now.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Thanks, sweetie.
And there you go. Who wants to be a Joe Prize millionaire? We may play this again in the future, Joe. You don't sound excited.
No, I'm just standing let me know what fine liquor you want for putting up with this.
Oh, she doesn't drink. Or if you want Corey's bacon cookies.
Well, that you got to give on your own.
Okay.
Sure. I knew everything but one. And I should have just gone for it. I said, what else would Marvel do? They'll start out with the number one. But no, Alias, I think Alias was the first omnibus I bought, which is what prejudiced me because, you know, I bought it for my daughters.
Yep. And for the longest time, I thought that was the first one, too. But no, a year before that, when they did the Fantastic Four, just like with the Marvel Masterworks.
I was on the right track.
Just like with the Marvel Masterworks, they did Fantastic Four, then Spider-Man, which is kind of odd because Hulk was between the two. But no, this isn't the only podcast we do. Well, that I do. I do all of these. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is currently on a pause, basically because COVID-19 has made it so that I have to work a lot of extra hours at both jobs. But you can still go and listen to my other podcasts. Now, you're probably listening to Crazy Comics and Stories, which is the main podcast. But on this same feed, KRAYZCOMIX, is Solitaire Rose Radio, these solo radio podcasts that I do. I've done interviews, I've done short stories, I've done all sorts of things, and you can get to it right here on this same feed. I also do a podcast called Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's over at novels.solitairerose.com. Dangerous Dan Moore and I, and of course Wolfie B. Bad, give you bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. You send in your questions, and we give you the aforementioned bad advice. And then myself and Adam Vermillion from For the Love of Comics do the Fantastic Forecast at fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com, where we go through the issues of the Fantastic Four issues at a time, to give the plot and commentary on each issue. That's not all. Yes, I'm crazy. I still, over at PWInsiderElite.com, every week on Wednesday, do a recap of the latest episode of AEW Dynamite. I write up what happened, and then myself and Anthony Pyrus will do an audio. Now, you can only listen to the audio if you're a member at PWInsiderElite.com, and if you're a wrestling fan, you should be, where we then break down the episode, talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, give it a grade, and let you know if you should have watched that episode. Those are the other podcasts here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network. Thanks. Joe doesn't do any.
I don't do any. I did a few, but I just don't have the podcasting fever.
You know what you do have the fever for, though?
The flavor of a Pringles. Oh, God, I'm hungry.
No, eBay.
eBay. Oh, I love eBay.
What's going on the eBay, Joe?
All sorts of shtick. Corey, have we ever talked about high-end collectibles?
We have.
Yep. And I got a
ton of... Way back at Anniversary Show, where we said we would open our own shop, where you twisted my arm to open a shop, we talked about how we would really kind of... The one thing you don't see a lot in the Twin Cities anymore are the high-end collectibles, and we would have a section of the store just for those.
Yeah. And matter of fact, I was just looking at some of the ones I had picked up, and the question is, are we looking for, like, what I had in the shop? I had a life-size Yoda, which all the Hot Comics had, and it was cool. Or when I had the Shogun Warrior type Mazinga dolls from Japan. In this case, I'm talking mostly about Dynamite's manufactured high-end collectibles. What they are is, and we see them in the previews, it's where like they only publish, say, 25 or 50 of a particular one. And they're really, a lot of them are tied in the Red Sonja. How do you say her name from John Carter?
Deja Thoris.
Vampirilla. I actually got a bunch of these in. And there's been a lot of interest in them, because you look at the one, like, there's Red Sonja Unchained number 3. It's got a very unique cover done by Mel Ruby. They only made 25 of them. And they usually they go pretty high. They start for 60 and they go upwards of 100. Once they're totally out of print, as in Dynamic Forces doesn't have them anymore, they actually go even higher. I don't know if other publishers do this as much as Dynamite does. And I'm just looking at last month's previews, and you can see what they do is now they have them as separate covers you can buy. Like, I'm looking at Red Sonja Black, White, and Red number 7. There's the J. Lee limited edition Virgin cover J, which you can buy for a swathy $50. And then there's also a limited edition Virgin cover done by the artist Sway, again for $50. The only differences with these is they don't say how many are actually published. For example, the Red Sonja Unchained number 3, the Unchained, all the high ends, they've only done 25 of. In the Lord of Mars, which was the John Carter book before they could call it John Carter. What was it? Was it a copyright thing, or were they just not quite sure who had the copyright at the time?
No, what it is, John Carter, Warlord of Mars, the first novel or two have gone into public domain. But John Carter, Warlord of Mars, is trademarked. Just like Tarzan, I can go to Project Gutenberg, which has all of the public domain stuff, and I can download the first, I think, either 5 or 6 Tarzan novels, but I cannot put out a book called Tarzan. I can make a Winnie the Pooh went into public domain, Joe, this year.
Yeah, we talked about that.
And with Disney's version is still copyrighted, but the original novel and the character have fallen out of copyright. The other book that fell out of copyright is A Farewell to Arms by Ernest Hemingway. Those are the two big works that fell out of copyright and are now owned by us, the public. So I have decided I'm going to do a mashup between the two called A Farewell to Pooh. Thank you.
I do that.
Beautiful crowd.
That's a crappy idea. I had to teach my kid how to potty train by saying that safe. Farewell to your poo. Anyways, so they called it Lord of Mars, and then they went Warlord of Mars, and then finally they just went John Carter.
They were able to work out a deal with the Burroughs family to continue publishing using the trademark name. Because nobody cared.
Yeah.
After the movie bomb, no one
cared. No one cared. Yeah, go ahead. Give us a couple $100. It's yours. I have 22 high-end comics at this point. I did have as high as 30. And what the deal is I've got them pretty much at what the original retail price was. Most of these went anywhere from $60 to $100. Of course, I do give free shipping. And I also take best offers, because I know what I paid for these. You don't. So as a friend, if you are truly interested in these things, give me a quick yell and I'll cut you a deal, because you know how I am. I've been putting oodles of stuff up, not only in terms of these high-end editions, but signed books. I've got runs of things such as the G.I. Joe Real American Hero that IDW did with Larry Hama and G.L. Gallant. I've got a couple graphic novels here. I've run across some Beetle Bailey comics, something called Foster, which I've never heard of. So this is going to be our secondary mission is to mention every single comic book that's ever been published. Well, Foster was published by Dog Year in 2012. It's set against the backdrop of the late 60s, early 70s urban crime movies. Foster follows a haunted war veteran who finds himself guardian of a 6-year-old boy being hunted by a shadowy race of brutal creatures rising up from the darkness. 5 issues, a bunch of variants, a bunch of signed ones. They did a couple books, an anthology. What I found interesting were the special limited edition variant covers, because each one is a special limited edition of 500, but they're individually numbered on the cover. For example, I have an issue 3 here, which is 267. In the meantime, somebody's got number 201 on eBay already. And there's not a lot of these things on eBay anyways. I mean, the regular ones are $1 to $3 if you can find them. But the limited ones are really, they're unusual. And I picked up a run. I didn't get the whole run, though. I'm missing issue 5. So I've got to decide, do I want to keep it or eBay it? I would like to read it at least first. I picked up a couple other fun things. I got a Spirit Will Eisner Warren magazine number 8, which I'm going to read and then put up on eBay, because this is the special issue featuring the beautiful but deadly female foes of the Spirit. And now, a quick question for Corey. What do you think?
An Ask the Strode?
It can be. So,
okay.
It's time now to Ask the Strode. What do you think's more expensive? The original issues, not counting number 8, the original issues of Marvel Superhero Secret Wars, or the freebie giveaway they put in the 2-pack when they were selling the Marvel Secret Wars 2-pack action figures?
Can I ask an informational question?
You may.
Was Secret Wars number 8 one of the 2 comics they reprinted?
Let me check, because I did see somebody online had the entire run of Marvel Super Heroes Secret Wars number 1 through 12, but you have to put in the word toy. Dun dun dun. Oh my god, I broke the eBays. Now let's redo it, because I obviously cannot spell Marvel. And dun dun dun. Buy it now. Oh, there it is. Yes, they did.
Then I am going to say the 2-pack, because the comic that's worth the most is issue 8, which is the first black Spider-Man costume.
Yeah, and in general, the giveaways run about $10 a pop, whereas the original issues, with the exception of number 8, because number 8 is the first black costume Spider-Man, they're all over the board. You know, number 1 might go for a little bit more, but for the most part, it's not a series that has really... held its value that well, mainly because there are probably thousands of them published, and it might even be available in a paperback. But if you see those reprint ones that are outside, that were only available inside the pack, so if you see them outside the pack, which is what I've been trying to spit out, those could be the ones that are a little bit more pricey. And it's just a case of, first, you had to have the pack. Second of all, you had to open it. Most toy collectors don't open. But there's your little comic trivia for today. So when you're out digging through them boxes, and if you see them, pick them up. The high ends are easy to spot, because each one will have a certificate of authenticity from Dynamite Entertainment. And will say something like, Jennifer Blood, number 20, high-end virgin art, ultra limited cover, as one of a specially limited series of 25. It really hasn't made them more collectible, though, because the people who buy them tend to be somebody who wants Vampirella or wants Red Sonja. But you don't see people like knocking the door down trying to find them. I, however, have them, at least 22 of them as of this recording. So if you are interested, you know what to do. Give me a call on the old eBay instant messaging machine. Let them know you listen to this here show, and I will cut you a deal. because that's just the way I work. Or I'll toss in something free. I don't know. I got tons of stuff to get rid of.
And now we come to my favorite part of the show.
Where I say, come get some.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Come now, get some. And now it's time for Freaking and Geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
I hurt. Okay. It is cold. Damn cold. Really, really cold here. I'm talking. Okay, here, let's take a quick temperature check. You know how we're always bitching about the weather? Wow, it was 80 degrees last month. Well, guess what it was now? It is 8 below, feels like 21, and the wind chill's going down.
No. Here in Chaska, it's 11 below.
Whoa, see, he's even lower. That's because I got the heat dome of the city.
That's right.
Yep. However, this is going to go through 10 a.m. tomorrow. We're supposed to get temperatures, wind chills as low as 35 below zero. This is where skin freezes in 5 minutes. 5 minutes to freezing. So it's cold outside. Didn't stop me from going outdoors. That was mistake number one. What had happened was, is I was checking, because we'll get to this when we get to kicking. My wife's out of town for a few days. And so, yeah, I put the trash out, put the garbage out. And I look and I see that the recycling bin isn't empty. It looked like what they do is these guys come by in their trucks. And do you think they'll get out of their truck and you know, make sure their thing can hook onto it? The trash guys did. But apparently the recycling guys didn't like my machine where I placed it because it pushed it like 2 feet in. And, you know, you could see where the snow would have been scraped. I was like, well, that's odd. Why didn't they empty it? So I thought, you know what? I'll go across the alley and look in the neighbors because theirs looks like it hasn't pushed. Maybe they didn't come by yet. Well, they had. Their bin was empty. And I thought, well, I better double check because these guys across the street are nuts. They might not have put anything in it. And I wiped out. And this was, if anybody has a recording of this, this had to be spectacular because I went down faster than a Texas Twister. My knee screamed. My hip said, Ryder, don't do that. We know we're titanium, but we're not built that way. My arm is still going, what the fuck was that? I really thought I was down for the count. Because my knee was screaming. I'm on my back. I'm in the middle of an alley. It's bright sunshine. But it's middle of the day. I mean, I have my cell phone on me, thank God. And then you just stop. I have you ever taken a serious ass fall like that, Corey, where you land and you're like, okay, what's broken?
I had a fall once after a midnight movie down at the St. Anthony, Maine. They were doing midnight movies. They were crap movies, just crap movies. And afterwards, you know, we'd kind of hang out and chat for a bit. And, you know, we finally broke it. You know, so, okay, it's 3:30 in the morning, time to go home. And as I walked to my car, which was far away from everybody else, I slipped and fell on the ice, hurt my elbow, and oh, did it hurt. Hurt like hell. So I get in the car and I'm driving home, and I notice that, you know, gosh, my coat feels really wet.
Uh-oh.
I must have broke the ice when I landed on it. I get home. No, I did not break the ice.
Okay, I'm going back to my original. Uh-oh.
Yeah, you could actually see the bone because it was right on the tip of the elbow. By the time I got home, it was 4 in the morning. And at this point in my life, I did not have medical insurance. So I thought to myself, what would Sabu from ECW do? And I super glued it shut.
Oh, I thought you were going to jump off the roof onto a picnic table.
Nope. I super glued it shut, went to bed, and you can still see the scar. Next time we get together, I'll show you the scar.
Oh, God. So this is like the second time in 2 months I've talked about falling. And when I fell, I'm on my back like, okay, now I'm Commander Data from Star Trek. You know, running system analysis. Okay, I can't still kind of move my knee. My hip really hurts. And I think I can get up. And I crawl, you know, I flipped over on all four And I slowly got up and I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to have some very angry ligaments tomorrow morning, which is for us as we're recording only an hour from now. But when I wake up, it'll probably be 8. I'm not looking forward to not moving it for 8 hours. Yeah, it was a hell of a fall. And I didn't know I was that limber. I know had I tried doing this before I had my new hips put in, I probably would have broke them hips in two just because they were fused to each other at the time. So, yeah, I'm even doing the millionaire thing. It's just sitting here. It hurts to sit. So when I'm done here, I'm probably going to go find an ice pack, take some more ibuprofen, or maybe finish the half fireball I didn't finish on New Year's. So, yeah, I think I'm done with winter.
Also want to remind people, I did not know this until I started working at the group home I'm at now. For people over 55, falls are one of the leading causes of death.
So I got that going for me.
Which is nice.
Although, even as we speak right now, authorities say a driver rammed into a Minneapolis fire station. Authorities say this was a domestic. Woman was seeking shelter at Blaisdell Avenue Firehouse. Firefighters protected her. Alleged assailant apparently attacked with his pickup truck. Firefighters eventually tackled, held him for police. Guys, of all the people you want to fuck with in America, firefighters ain't one of them because they are tough as fuck. And I say this because my dad, my grandpa, my father-in-law, and a lot of people I know are firefighters. And if I was half as tough as them, I would have broke the alley instead of my knee. I love Twitter. I'm slowly getting into the Twitter game. You know, and this is like one of those instant Twitter news things that popped up because I have it set for like fires or whatever. So that's what's going on in Minneapolis today. Corey, how about you? What are you freaking on? Other than we probably lost Stephanie as a friend for life.
The first week of the year where I work is the worst week of the year. Now, open enrollment is the busiest, and that is stressful. But the first week of the year is when all of the changes that everyone has made and the companies have made go into effect. And you have people who screwed up on their annual enrollment, who after we sent them 3 letters, 2 emails with deadlines and everything, and text messages this year, are calling up. Why is this, you know, why is my benefit like this? Why was this dependent dropped? Why was it this hat? Why, et cetera, et cetera. And we have to tell them, no, it's after the first of the year. We can't make any changes. We have to drop the fact that it's an IRS rule. And the IRS will eliminate the benefits of companies that do not follow their rules. But the worst calls, the absolute worst calls in the world are from a spouse who the employee dropped during open enrollment and did not tell. They went in during open enrollment. I don't want to cover my spouse on medical anymore. Because one, the spouse is usually at the doctor wondering why they don't have coverage. And two, because they're not on the plan anymore, we are legally prohibited from giving them any information. Those are the worst calls in the world because you can't say anything. And it's one of the shittiest things somebody can do to somebody else. And it's usually, you know, how the spouse finds out that their significant other is planning a divorce. Because they're pretty much like, well, I'm going to be leaving them anyway, so I don't want to pay for their medical. It's ugly, it's cruel, and we get the brunt of it. Also, Dreamhaven was broken into again. Somebody broke in, they took 4 small boxes of comics. They're doing an inventory to see what else may be missing. actually really surprised that after the riots, they didn't put in a burglar alarm. Or maybe they did and nobody got there in time. But if you're in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, go to Dreamhaven, pick up some stuff, throw them a few bucks to help them get through this. Them and the College of Comic Book Knowledge have both been robbed within the last year, and it sucks. They're both great shops. They're both filled with wonderful people who do not deserve this happening to them. You know what we haven't done for a long time, Joe?
Had garlic bok choy.
No, I had that earlier today.
Oh.
We have not done a hanging at the home.
Whoa.
Well, this year, we're short on staff. What a shock, I know.
I'm shocked.
But we're short on staff to the point where I am working in houses I haven't worked in for quite a few months. So, you know, if anything has changed since, the pandemic, I haven't worked there. So I go to one of the houses I haven't worked in. I think I've worked there twice in the last 2 years. And when I get there, the staff on duty says, oh, good, you made it in. I got to go. Well, could you fill me in on what's going on? Just read the tea logs. I got to go. I'm late.
To me, I hear, just read the tea leaves.
The other staff who's supposed to show up, I open the computer. I look at the tea logs, which is the logs of what happened on previous shifts. Oh, they called in and they weren't able to find anyone. I'm working this house by myself. So one of the clients there has dementia, Alzheimer's. Time to give her pills. Now, in the past, when I've tried to give her pills, she gets really angry because she woke up from a nap and will actually start slapping and hitting me. But this time she was still at the table for supper, so I didn't have to wake her up. I bring her pills. She says, oh, okay. Are these mine? Yes, they're yours. And then she lays them out. She tries to lay them out on the table, and they start rolling every place. So I put down a towel so that when she lays them out, they won't roll every place. So she counts them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And these are mine. Yes, they're yours. And these are the right colors. Yes, they are. Are these my pills? Yes, those are your pills. Do you know my mother? No, I don't know your mother. Well, let me count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Are these the right pills? Are they the right color? Do you know my mother? Joe, this goes on. I am not joking. I am not trying to make a point because I had to time it as part of the record keeping. She did that for an hour and a half. I have a lot of patience because I sat with her for an hour and a half. But by, I would say, an hour and 15 minutes, I was near tears. Just please take your pills. And then finally, after an hour and a half, because what she would do, she would take maybe one or two, and then the whole process would start again. So she finally finishes her pills at time to get her to bed. And of course, she's not going to go to bed. And I'm done fighting at this point. The staff who's coming in at 9 o'clock and can deal with this now. Because I have nothing left. So the next staff comes in. I explain what happened. They go, oh, we put her pills in applesauce now and tell her it's a snack. Well, is that written anywhere? No, we all just know it. The last thing I'm freaking on, Brian Hibbs of Comic Experience said that this is the lowest shipping week he's ever had as a comic retailer. The fewest number of books ever. Now, usually January doesn't have a lot of big books because comic companies, like all other corporate entities, are measured on a year-to-year basis. So usually when they get near the end of the year, there is a huge push to get out as many books as they can so that they are on the books for that year. Even if the money comes in later, they were shipped before the end of the year, so any money that comes in for those books is through accounting on that year so that they can make that year look as big and profitable as ever, which usually means a lot of the big books and most of the smaller books that would come out in January, they kind of work really hard to make sure they come out by the end of the year. So this is our first shipping week in 2022, and there's a whole lot of nothing. Not one omnibus, not one hardcover, not one paperback, just some comics, and not even any big ones. So again, just like with Dreamhaven, go to your local shop. They're not going to make a lot of money this week because there's not a lot of new books. So instead, pick up a trade paperback or two. Matter of fact, I always say January, February, the slowest months at your comic shop, do them a favor. That trade paperback you've been looking at, go ahead and buy it. Matter of fact, if there's something they've had on their shelf for a year or so, ask them, hey, I see you've had this on your shelf for, you know, a year. I'll pay. Could you give me 20% off and I'll pick it up? The worst they can say is no. Most of them are going to say yes because they want to get that cash in the register because they don't have as much product to sell. Joe, when you were a shop, was January and February the worst months?
Oh, yeah. There was only one exception I was aware of. Actually, I should preface it. Generally, the first 2 weeks in January were okay. The one between Christmas and New Year's, depending on how it fell, was kind of a non-event. And that was when they came up with that infamous skip week where everything that was late would ship. The year they came out with Operation Annihilation that tied in through all the Quasar and Avengers and...
Oh, Operation Galactic Storm.
Yes, that was it. Thank you. That year actually was pretty good, and people are really hyped about that. And it showed, a lesson soon forgotten, that, yeah, if you plan a decent crossover, not these company-wide crossovers where everybody's included, but just something that, like, all the Avenger books tied into it. Doesn't really matter now. There's only one Avenger book, soon to be two. But it sold well, and people would buy it. But the first 2 weeks, anyways, are usually pretty good because people are usually spending the gift cards they got for Christmas. And we did a lot of gift certificates, gift cards, things like that. And people are playing catch up. And I was always calling because that was one of the three times of the year where things change. The other two being the start of summer, the other two being the end of summer. Just something about a new year snaps in people's brains, and you just got to kind of remind them, hey, I'm pulling comics for you. Do you still want them? That said, after those 2 weeks, there was nothing to order. There was nothing to sell. My last year of business got compounded by the fact that suddenly there was a super spike in energy charges. So if your energy bills were normally $100 a month, all of a sudden it was $400 that month. Mine went from $400 a month to over $1,200. And it's like talking to XL, whose first attitude was, oh, yeah, we'll cut you off. I should have just said, do it. I said, I don't know where you think I'm magically getting this money from. And that was kind of, Nick says it was the first nail in the coffin that year, but I had a sale. At the same, because usually I only did sales a couple times a year, but this was like, hey, I know your energy bill's high, so we're going to cut prices and have some fun. And that helped me get through that hurdle. But yeah, it's a grisly time of the year. Hopefully comic shops have other revenue streams ready to go. You know, they might be playing the eBays. They might be doing what's the new one? Whatnot or something. It's supposed to be an auction site. A lot of local dealers seem to be hopping in on that where they do their auctions through that instead of eBay. I haven't tried it. I've downloaded it, but I haven't tried it. Because usually it's like, oh, we're doing things Tuesday night. It's like, I work Tuesday night. I don't think I can play auctions on my phone at Tuesday night, even though I am in the basement of the airport. But I will talk about more of this when we get to geeking. Any other freaking you got, Mr. S?
No, I think that's enough freaking.
Yes, because we like to end this show on a note.
A positive note.
Okay, give me my entrance.
Joe, what are you geeking on?
21 covers for She-Hulk and Rising. I know people are complaining already online. There's a lot of store exclusives. I've personally have about 3 or 4 different places that I've ordered. Yeah, it's cheesy, but what's the worst part about it, and this mini freaking, is that a lot of times I can't get every single one of the artists I enjoy. I want Frank Hughes. I want Adam Hughes. I want Rob Liefeld. I want Dan Jurgens. I got to pick one, and that's the hard one. But anyways.
The hard one? Well, that would be Frank Cho. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody.
Outrage! I mentioned earlier, Chris is gone. She went out to Reno on Wednesday, which was like probably the worst time of the year to try to leave, because not only did we have snowstorm in Minnesota, she had snowstorm in Denver, her connecting flight. Reno, we just got over one, but they seemed to be in the clear. But she made it okay. She got out. You know, Minneapolis is a jewel when it comes to trying to clear out snow. And most of the snow had quit in the wee hours. And they, even though the wind chill was blowing it around, they got her out on time. She breezed through security in 4 minutes. See, it can be done. She got to Denver. The flight was delayed a little bit because their plane was delayed coming in from Baltimore. She said, talked to like one of the flight attendants. They were like going from New York to Baltimore to Denver to Reno and back again. That's their day. How was your day? But she got out of there. She got to Reno. She went there because my oldest daughter was having a minor colonoscopy medical thing done and just needed someone to help her drive there to it and back. So she got there. Everything's good. They're actually sleeping now. They're 2 hours behind us. So as we record this, it's 11:14. It's a mere 9:14 there, and they're already in bed. So, but with her gone, I can do things like stay up all night and watch television. First thing on the list, The Book of Boba Fett. Did not realize only 2 episodes came out because people have been talking about it so much. I thought, oh man, there'd be a lot of them. Nope. I watched all 2. I watched the making of, and I'm enjoying it. I know there's some people like, oh my God, it's like Lawrence of Arabia. And you say, you're saying that like it's a bad thing. So I'm just curious to see where they're going. I really think Star Wars could be like Star Trek. If we could just get past, everybody seems to be brain farted on the final movies. And I'm like, well, yeah, but you can go elsewhere. So I'm really looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to the next Mandalorian. I'm looking forward. Oh, what's the actor? I can't think of the actor. The Ben Kenobi one coming up. Ian McGregor's. So that should be fun. That doesn't mean I'm not reading stuff. Oh, heck no. I got all sorts of stuff to read. I think last week I talked about what? New Gods, the Mark Avanier.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, that was fun. So I dug out the Legion of Superheroes, the Great Darkness Saga. And this is one of those things that I probably, you know, you're going to say, Joe, we're listening for 10 years, bitch, that you're trying to get rid of things. Now you're saying you wish you didn't. Well, the fun thing about this is that it was great. This is when I first started reading Legion. This, in my opinion, is the first time we saw Darkseid as a real badass. Most of the time, he was just kind of another supervillain that just kind of showed up. And I will swear, up until this, and even in the Crisis, it was people would show up on Apocalypse. They would get dark. They would somehow do something to get Darkseid's attention. He would give them some vague, if you come again, I'm going to kill you. And they would leave. And he just, I mean, over and over and over. But in this book, first off, and I've talked to Corey about this offline, and I put it on a Facebook Legion of Superhero page, which has really gotten kind of bitchy lately because people were just, oh my God, Bendis is doing this, and I don't like Bendis, and Bendis, and Bendis, and Bendis, Bendis. And I'm like, I kind of enjoyed what he did, but you guys are, you're going to get nothing because you're bitching so hard, you're not going to get nothings.
Well, nothing's better than Bendis.
Anyways.
You'll get nothing and like it.
Like it. I posted this saying I'm reading it, and then I asked two questions. First of all, did you know who the villain was? Because I didn't. I mean, I knew Darkseid from the JLA, and it was the one where Firestorm was in, and he created a YouTube, so when the Omega Effect hit, it went back and hit Darkseid, and he disappeared, and that was the end of it. And I thought, oh, he's just a superhero guy. I had no inkling who Jack Kirby was. I knew who Jack Kirby was. I had no inkling of New Gods or any of that. So that was a lot of fun. I also remember this was about the time when I think people started paying attention to Legion. Definitely.
Because of Keith Giffen, believe it or
yes.
not.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And the big thing was, is I picked up the, and you know, the weird thing was, is I knew a lot of what was going on. I mean, I know who Computo was. So when he showed up in the annual that brought in the new Invisible Kids, I knew he was a badass. I knew why Duo Damsel didn't want to fight Computo. And I don't know how. Maybe it's because I picked up enough. I mean, Gruber really loved Legion of Superheroes, but it was fun. I was hip on what was going on. And this started it. I have most of these issues in my collection because I've been working to get all the Baxter issues together. And I want to sit down, and when I finally get them, I'll throw them in a short box and just read them. So I imagine we'll revisit this in the future when I start reading these. Of course, that led to the second question that got everybody in a tizzy. In the back was of my collection, so Legion of Superheroes, the Great Darkness Saga, there was a smaller version of the original 40 inches by 15 inches Legion of Superhero poster that was penciled by Keith Giffen and inked by Larry Melsted, featuring virtually every character that ever appeared in the Legion story to that point. 275 plus characters. The poster was a big success, went out of print. Lord knows if you can find it. This book was published in 1984. So, well, actually, I'm sorry, this compilation, 1987. So this book is wildly out of print too. But they do bring up a question that started tongues a-wagging. Why was Super Turtle included in this poster? The answer to this earth-shattering question is unknown to this day. Other things I read. I
can answer the question.
Oh, so we have a new segment. Strode knows.
I remember reading an interview at the time where the artist said, I really like Super Turtle.
Enough said.
And a reminder to everyone that George Perez, when he did Crisis, vowed he would put every DC character in it. And yes, Super Hip is in it.
Oh,
Sugar
yeah.
Sugar and Spike are in it.
Saw them. Yeah. I read The Boys' Dear Becky, which was the latest book that came out in 2019. It was a miniseries. And I just picked it up because I have the book so I can put it with the other ones. Guinness. I'll call you Guinness for Garth Ennis. Ennis, you still got it. Freaking amazing. Depressing. It was good to see the boys in action again. It was damn depressing to see Becky because we all know what happens to her. And, of course, you're on your edge of your seat because you want to see just how why can't I think of their name? Huey and his girlfriend, the superhero. I can't remember her name. I just read it. I don't really think I could. I couldn't remember who Al, what's his name was that did did Spire Comics. I guessed on that one.
Al Hartley.
If you're a
boy, did I spend a lot of time talking about him when I did that June 1961 book? And Joe just.
Well, you know, I gotta get my sleep sometime. If you haven't picked up The Boys Dear Becky, do it. It's a good epilogue. Remember how last week I was talking about all of the Marvels, how much I enjoyed it? I don't enjoy it. I don't. Really? I'm not really. You know, the beginning of it was really cool because it kind of gives you a primer of how to read things. Like, what does continuity mean? What's canonical? How do I tell if it matters? This particular section, his first couple chapters should be pulled out and put in as a primer to read comics. But I'm not, you know, for me, I'm like, oh, he read all the comics and he's kind of putting them in order. He's really kind of hopscotching all over the place. I mean, and I kind of lost him on his Spider-Man stuff. Again, this is just his thing, but he said, okay, we're going to start off with Free Comic Book Day, Spider-Man number one. Okay. Now let's go to Amazing Fantasy 15. Okay, now you're talking. Marvel Tanglewebs 14. Okay, yeah, that's cool. Amazing Spider-Man 1, still with you. 38. Yeah, well, okay, you covered the whole Ditko area. Okay, we're going to go to 50. Now we're going to go to 99. Now we're going to go to 121. And he just kind of glosses over, like, from 1975 to 1987. Yeah, it's just kind of all the same crap. He fights whatever. And then he jumps to 87. Then he jumps to 95. No, this is not what I thought. I have to re-figure out what he's trying to do. But I think, Corey, you and I do a better job of... If we were to sit down and just go, okay, here's the highlights of the Marvel Universe that people should read. Because he's just kind of – he's also dwelling a lot on the negatives. Okay, here's a section that you can kind of – you know, he's almost inviting you to skip over reading these books because there's another octopus. He fights Kangaroo. He fights Dr. Octopus. He fights – oh. So, again, I think
Butch would be like antidote for that.
Yeah. And I'm almost.
What do you mean? Kangaroo is the greatest character ever.
And also, how you skipped over like some really groundbreaking stuff, like when Spider-Man took down the Juggernaut. It's just whatever. What I am geek. I mean, again, I'm gonna keep reading it, and you know, we'll see. But it's not. It's no longer part of my. Oh my God, I gotta read it. It's like, okay, this is my bedtime reading. I'm just gonna read a little bit. However, the first. I don't know, three or four chapters were brilliant because if I could talk to Douglas, I'd say, dude, you got to publish this as a free comic book thing. This is how you read comic books. I would ask him to just publish it as a pamphlet just so I could give to someone and say, doesn't matter what you're reading, this is how you read it. What I'm really, really geeking on, the Thor and the Eternals, the Celestial Saga. Hokey, the art is weird. I think, Corey, I don't know if you're getting tired of me texting you pictures of here comes Manibold. Good Lord, where are you pulling these names from, Roy? But it's just fun. I have never read these. I mean, I read Thor 300. I didn't get what was going on.
Joe texts me about it. And I say, wait till he brings in the Wagner Ring Opera and mixes that in with the story.
I know. Good grief.
Roy Thomas really was... just throwing everything in the bucket and hitting puree.
Yeah.
And the sad part is, he didn't write issue 300. That was written by Mark Newald and Ralph Macchio, because it was another time where Roy Thomas had built all this stuff up, and he left. Now, with Fantastic Four, when he did that, it was because he was moving to L.A., with Thor, it's because his contract was up and Jim Shooter wanted to cut his pay and put him under editorial. And Roy went to Stan Lee and said, yeah, this is the contract they're offering and I've negotiated and they won't move. And DC's given me an offer. And Stan went, well, then go to DC. Which Roy was taken aback by. But then he realized Stan was saying, look, you're not going to be able to work at Marvel under the new regime, because you used to be my second in command, and then you were editor in chief. You still want to have all that power and ability for autonomy, but Marvel's not going to let you have that anymore. If DC's offering you something better, you go to DC. You go where the money's better.
Yeah.
Speaking of stores I visited, I'm back to trying to visit stores, even though it was sub-zero, ball blistering cold. Part of the deal in order to get – I'm always paranoid when I fly. You know, I don't want to be the guy on the eight-hour flight. I don't want to be the guy caught on, what was it, I-95 in Virginia? Or was it 75? Good grief. Corey, it's like you said, always have a go-to bag in your car. You know, my dad always talked about that. You know, have a toilet paper with you, especially when you're traveling out west where, yeah, you know, the next rest area at gas stations is about 50 miles away if you got to go. Matter of fact, I was watching some news today, and they had a scene on I-80 where we had traveled where a trooper had to duck out of the way because some guy in an SUV spun out of control. And the trooper was behind his car. The guy was going for his car. He went left. The guy went left. He went back behind the car. You see the thing spin off, and the trooper ducks as he gets sprayed by. Oh. So, yeah, just be prepared for flying. It's always, yeah, you get to the other side, buy your liquids, or better yet, for Minneapolis people, bring up empty container, because we got those filtered fountains you can fill up when that, you know, kids only cough in every other day. Fill up with food. Just be ready in case you get stuck, be it with a charger or a book or whatever. So I said I would be hanging around till she boarded. I went down to Cedar Cliff Collectibles. Didn't get to talk to Steve much because it was New Comic Day. They were putting stuff out, trying to get ready for it. Did pick up some things. A lot of it I haven't read yet, but I'm going to be reading. Picked up another Heroes Reborn Returns, the four-parter by Peter David, because he had them cheap. Why not? I picked up a couple Action Comics, which I will talk about in a future episode because we're going kind of long here. Picked up a bunch of those Dollar True Believers, mostly ones in the Golden Age. Introducing the Black Widow, Thanos First, What If Conan Walked the Earth, First Black Cat, Phoenix Bizarre Adventure. I have these somewhere, but for a buck, what the hell? I just supported Steve. I picked up some other things. Some will go on eBay, some won't. Today I went down to Half Price Books, mostly because I was mostly looking to see if somebody turned in my bag of comics I got ripped off. But if they did, they're not there. But I picked up a ton of stuff there. I got a book, One Shot, Kyle Baker, The Bakers. Have you heard of this one, Corey?
Yes. I actually bought them for $1 each.
I only found one when I looked for it. But it's number one, so why not? And it's got a cool cover. I picked up Titans, Legion of Superheroes, Universe Ablaze, which by Dan Jurgen, Phil Jimenez, Tom McGraw, they had all four issues. That's the worst part of going to Half Price is, you know, again, I picked up these Foster books. They had 1 through 4. Did not realize there was a number 5, but I did get the anthology, so I should be able to read it all. You know, a lot of times you're like, oh, there's an issue 1, 5. Where are the other ones? So what I usually do is I'll put them at the beginning of the alphabet, and then as I'm digging, because like the Universe Ablaze, I found one in L under Legion and one under T for Titans and one under U for Universe Ablaze. So I was able to piece together all four of them. So that was fun. And barring, we'll see how my hip feels. Oh, hang on, I got a message. Heading to bed, good night. Oh, that's my wife out in Reno.
Aww.
And let's see, it's only 9:30 there, so I'll give her a little jazzing. 9:30? Anyways, speaking of messages, I got a very nice message from one of our sometimes listener, but generally nice guy. I'll just give his first name, Brian. I don't know if he wants his last name on there. But he says, I heard you on the Festivus episode that you're looking for opinions of the show. Uh-oh. For me, the way you two, Corey and I, play off each other is fantastic. Sometimes I wish Strode would do more yes and, to borrow an improv term, when it comes to the comedy, the humor, the dad jokes. I sometimes wish you guys covered other areas of previews and talk about statues and figures, which ones you like, even though you don't plan on purchasing them. We could probably do that. I mean, the show's already 2 hours anyways. And we do occasionally when we see something we really like, we'll mention it. But we could add that. Lastly, I love the guests, but they work best when you're both there. Just my thoughts. My favorite part is the energy, the history, and the banter between you two. Longtime fan, even though I don't get a chance to listen as much as I do. Well, you got some nerve, Brian. Oh, no. Anyways, thank you. As I said, kind of crankily at the podcast, and I didn't mean to be at that one. I was just Festivus from. We do love the feedback, whether it's a quick note, just saying, hey, you guys, I want to review this. If you're a guest doing a comic, although I got to say, there's a few guests we've had on the show that have kind of stopped communicating with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what? They got a clean soul. Anyways, that's all I'm geeking on for now. How about you, Corey? What you geeking on?
I have a few things. First off, remember the hanging at the home?
Yes.
I did let the person who does the scheduling know that two of the my first two shifts this year have been shifts where I'm surprised alone. She said, oh, you get a bonus for that.
Oh, sweet.
And we're recording late tonight because, again, they were like, we desperately need somebody to work. Well, you know, I kind of am busy tonight. They went, well, we'll give you a bonus. I still did. We'll double the bonus. Joe, can we record at 9:30 instead?
And notice how he like kicked the bonus thing in there. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And the big thing is for me, hey, you know, if I help you out, get the show recorded. And the fact that Chris is gone, because normally, what do I call this? The Cray dungeon is like directly under the bed so she can hear me. And there's been times like she'll come up. Are you sure you should be talking about Corey's anxiety that much? Is it, well, he's very public about it, so I think it's okay. You know,
so I take medication during the show. Damn it!
Don't hear me. Oh, hi, Holly. Sorry, I forgot they're here. They were gone last week. So
and you've got Bun Buns there too.
Ah, he just wants to be scritched under the chin. Don't us Holly guys want a little scritch under the chin?
I am actually kind of proud of all the questions I came up with for the game show, and I did it.
I got everything but one.
I did it in like 10 minutes. It was like, okay, how many questions do I need? 15. All right, I'm going to start with something easy. And then I just had to reorder them after I got them written. Then I had to look up the answers. The Phoenix one was my favorite, though. How many times has Jean Grey died? 15!
I just went high on that one.
Because I could just think, okay, she didn't really die when she was the Phoenix because she was at the bottom of the river in a cocoon. But they went through, you know, oh, nope, she was killed here. She was killed here. All the X-Men were killed here. She died in the Age of Apocalypse, and she died here. And then she was killed in the future on this. And it's like, wow. Mick Karsh. Joe, do you know who Mick Karsh is?
Wasn't he a local wrestling guy?
He was the announcer, the final announcer for All Star Wrestling featuring.
Oh, he also
the AWA.
He also ran like Saturday night wrestling.
Saturday night at ringside.
Yeah, where it was like WWE syndicated and then some other things. And it wasn't must-see TV for wrestling fans, but it was fun to record and fun to watch.
And he would have interviews during the show. He's also been the announcer for Steel Domain Wrestling, a couple other local promotions. He has started a podcast called AWA Unleashed, and you can get it on Spotify or YouTube or Apple iTunes. It is AWA Unleashed. First episode came out on January 4th. Second episode is coming out on January 7th. The first episode is the genesis of the AWA. Vern Gagne and Wally Carbo talking about how Vern Gagne and Wally Carbo put together the AWA because Vern was pissed at the NWA. only an hour long. I am trying to twist Mick Karch's arm to get him to do an interview with me that would be available here for all of our listeners and on PW Insider. But it's a really fun show. Mick has a lot of history.
What's the, is there a website attached to it already?
There is not, but you can go to YouTube, just put in AWA Unleashed, or to Spotify, or the iTunes, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Cool. Like ours.
Yes. Comic-wise, Joe, comics are dying. Publishers Weekly announced today that they've done the final tabulations in the what I think it's called Book Scan. And what it is, all book retailers, you know, all the major ones, including Amazon, a number of comic shops that get their books through through book distributors. Oh, that would be Marvel now, wouldn't it? Their numbers are, when they scan that book, it doesn't just go into the, at your Barnes & Noble, they scan the book. It doesn't just go into the register. It also goes to Book Scan so that they can see, you know, what's the number one selling book, the number two selling book. Book sales were up last year over 40% year to year. What was the fastest rising category? We wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't graphic novels. Graphic novel sales were up over 100%. Second fastest growing category was fantasy, up over 40%. Now, with the pandemic and everything, people have rediscovered their love of books, but comic graphic novel sales are up over 100%. Joe Quesada said in a recent interview, and it's also in Disney's prospectus, that Marvel Publishing has been more profitable every year for the last 3 years. They're more profitable than they were in the 90s, even, you know, when they were selling 9 million copies of the X-Men, because they're selling more graphic novels, they're selling more collections, they're selling more omnibuses. What was it? X-Men number one was $1.99, with the last one being $3.95. All their comics are now $3.95, so they generate more profit. And it's not the number of books you sell, it's the amount of profit you make. You could sell, this was something that, let's say I open a comic shop and I spend $1 million on back issue inventory and I sell every one of them. And at the end of the day, I made $250,000. But my sales are great. How do I make money? Volume, volume, volume. Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, Image, they're all pivoting to the new market. Like any good business, they're going where the business is. Comic shops cater to a small part of the population. For decades, we've been saying comics need to break out of the comic shop. Well, they are now, and the fans our age and so they're mad about it. And it's funny, they go, well, manga's the thing that's selling and it's not woke like all the other crap. I can't tell you how many manga I've read where it's gay characters and trans characters and characters who can switch from boy to girl depending on if they get splashed with water or eat rice balls or whatever. Comics are selling better than they have ever before. And it's a good thing. What was it? The Dog Boy and Catman selling through the roof. Young adult novels that EC are doing really selling well. They're going to keep up that program. Marvel's young adult repackaging their stuff in the young adult size, doing really well at Barnes & Noble and Target and Scholastic Books. They're making a ton of money. And people, there are people out there who just don't want to accept it. And it's been like this for years now, and they still don't accept it. They go, well, I see the diamond numbers, and the diamond numbers haven't changed. Well, yeah. Marvel and DC and everybody else knew that the direct market had stagnated. So they started going to other markets, which is what you do. If I'm selling widgets and I only sell them through Ace Hardware, and Ace Hardware's getting their ass kicked by Home Depot and Menards and the other big box stores, I'm going to go to those big box stores and I'm going to elbow my way in. And that's what comics are doing. They're elbowing their way in at Amazon. They're elbowing their way in at Barnes & Noble. And I think it's great. One of the reasons Marvel's doing more miniseries that have to do with the characters in the movie is they've learned. An Eternals movie comes out. We need to have a bunch of Eternals graphic novels. So here's the omnibus for the collectors. Here's the Kirby one for the people who want to read the beginning. Here's the one that collects the stuff from the 80s. Here's the stuff that Neil Gaiman did because Neil Gaiman sells books. Here's the current. But they're just tying in with the movies. Good. Thank God they're tying in with the movies. It's keeping the art form alive. And the last thing I'm geeking on, I am now halfway through the Immortal Hulk. This is one messed up, scary horror comic, and I absolutely love it. Joe, have you read the Immortal Hulk yet?
I'm trying to get all 50 put together. They're spread all over, or the omnibus will show up. So either or. But as I was reading it, I got to the point where I was like, oh, I gotta read this in chunks because it wasn't satisfying enough waiting every 30 days.
That's the best thing about it, that I'm reading it all. You know, I don't have to wait a month for the issues. Oh, it is so good. This is so good that I feel bad for whoever's taken over the Hulk after him.
I wouldn't. It's I read the first issue, and I was halfway through it. I was like, and then they hit the hook on the end, and I'm like, okay.
See, I always feel bad for whoever has to follow up a really great run.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of the things I remember when Claremont was booted off the X-Men. No matter who you would have put on it, fans would have, you know, the hardcore fans who love Chris Claremont were like, yeah, it's not as good. Did it sell better? Yeah. But nobody remembers those stories. Nobody remembers the X-Men of the 90s. Nobody. Not even the people who wrote them. Hell, Scott Lodell didn't remember what he'd written while he was writing it. But Immortal Hulk, way fun. It's the only comic I'm reading because this, you know, as I said in my freaking, it's a horrible, horrible work week. And I'm kind of glad that this is the one I'm reading because I'm reading it like I would read a novel. When I read a novel, I don't try to read four other novels at the same time. This is one long, continuous story. It really pulls out some stuff from the Belmantlo run and the Peter David run that no one has played with in a long time. Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for an hour and a half.
And we wouldn't do it
if we didn't love you.
Oh, I was going to say if you didn't listen, but that's okay.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
What was your first job, Corey?
Working on my grandfather's farm for $3 an hour.
Wow. What did you do?
Shoveled manure, fed animals, plowed fields, walked beans. The worst part of the job was walking beans. Do you know what walking beans is, Joe? In the summer.
Anything like, you know, pulling strawberries, it sucks.
In the summer. Usually, you know, toward the middle of the summer, July, you have to go through and cut the weeds out. Because once you get an infestation of weeds, like thistles or, you know, there were all kinds of weeds, cuckleburrs, stuff like that. You would go through and you would cut them at the root. You would have this special long thing that would have a hook and then a blade in the hook and then a blade on the other end so that you could grab the weed and pull to, you know, cut it off at ground level, or if that didn't work, you'd use the other one and just jam it down in there. And you would walk up and down the rows, getting rid of all the weeds. And it was the worst part of summer. And this was before you had a Walkman. So you're walking in a field in summer, 120 acres, just cutting weeds for $3 an hour. And at that point in my life, I vowed, if I ever get a job indoors, I will never, ever leave. So, yeah, that was my first job, Joe. I think yours was, wasn't Sears. Was it a burger place?
No.
No, it's a Chinese food.
Yeah, I worked Tulsa Long for a while, but my first job was at an orange juice factory, but I got canned. I couldn't concentrate.
I'm never going to be able to yes and that.
Sorry, Brian. We tried. I would normally say I feel like dancing, but I feel like hitting the ibuprofen. Nevertheless, Corey, hit my music.
Done, bitches!